All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Exodus, chapter 24. And I'm going to move to the next place where we see the Shekinah and talk for tonight, probably in the next couple of Wednesday nights, about this one. There are several points that I would like to draw from this chapter and make some things known and show you some things that I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Now, remember that the Shekinah that is what the Old Testament fathers, what the rabbis and what the what the priest of the Old Testament, Aaron, the prophets, it's what they all called the glory of God, all right? The glory of God. And here in this 24th chapter, we have a little change, if you will. If you will remember, God gave the law in chapter 20, started giving pieces of the law. But then in chapter 24, chapter 25, he is going to start talking about the tabernacle. And from chapter 24 all the way to the end of the book of Exodus. All right, so from 24 to chapter 40, to the end of the book, we have the Lord giving to Moses all the instruction and direction concerning the tabernacle. And that's what's in this chapter. We are being introduced to the tabernacle, but something has to happen, something has to take place for all of this unveiling of the tabernacle to begin. And what happens is what is found in verse 1 of chapter 24. All right, so look carefully at that. It says, "And he," God, "said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron." Now, who was Aaron? His brother, exactly right. But who was Aaron? The high priest, exactly right. All right, so you had Moses. So he said, "Moses, come up unto the Lord. Aaron, come up unto the Lord. Nadab and Abihu," the sons of who?
Aaron,
right. So that here are Aaron's two boys. He had others, but these two are probably the oldest, and they assisted their dad Aaron in the ministry of the high priest. Then notice, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and what's the next word? Worship ye afar off. And Moses, what's the next word?
Alone.
All right. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said will we do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. So he wrote them down and rose up early in the morning, builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we go to Saudi Arabia in October, we are going to see what they believe are the ruins of this altar that was built, the altar of 12 pillars. There is still the remains of that to be seen. Verse 5, and he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. All right, now jump down, please, to verse 12. In verse 12, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. So Moses was to receive the law from God and the Ten Commandments, and he was then to teach those commandments to the people. Verse 13, and Moses rose up, and his minister, his servant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur, now who's Hur? His Aaron's brother, all right? So you got Moses, Aaron, and Hur, their brothers. He said, Aaron and Hur are with you. And if any man have any matters to do, in other words, matters that need to be decided or need to be judged, then you take it to one of them. And verse 15, and Moses went up into the mount, and a what? There it is. And a cloud covered the mount. Watch this now. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord, watch this now, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. Do you see that? Now don't forget that the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Now, don't lose sight of that, okay? So here the Bible says that the sight of the glory of God, in other words, the sight of the Shekinah, was like a devouring fire. In other words, when the children of Israel, who were down at the foot of the mountain, and then halfway up were the elders and the high priest Aaron and his brother and his two sons. So they're halfway up the mountain, and so when these down below and these halfway up looked up, what they saw was a devouring fire. Now, you think of that. Would that not have scared the daylights out of you? It would me. It really would. You would have been standing there in total awe of what was happening. You would have been in total awe of what was happening. And the amazing thing is, you can go online and look at pictures of Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, in Edom. You can just type in Google, in Edom. And what you will see is a picture taken from back where the children of Israel would have been gathered in the valley below. And they take a picture of it, and you will see a ring around the top of that mountain, and it's all burnt all the way, about three quarters of the way up to the top. It's all burnt. And it's a perfect ring around the top of that thing. Where the fire of God, the Shekinah, rested on that mountain. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Absolutely amazing. And so he said, then look at verse, let's read down to verse 17 and 18. It says, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him." That's a strange word, isn't it? Gat. He gat. I'd like to use that. I bet somebody here, you some English teacher hear you say that and just about blow a gasket. "And gat him up into the mountain, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for this passage, and I pray you'll bless now as we look at Moses going up on the mountain to meet with you. And Father, I pray that you'll help me as I go through this, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen, and may we learn the Bible and just realize what a wonderful God we serve. So bless now, we pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, we are going to continue now and look at this 24th chapter, begin here in this 24th chapter, and look at a few things that are connected to Moses meeting with God, with the Lord. He met on the top of Mount Sinai, and the Shekinah came and dwelt over the top of Mount Sinai, and that is where Moses received the law from God, and then brought it eventually to the people. Now, this is the next time in the Bible where we see the Shekinah, the glory cloud. In verse 18, we see that Moses went up into the cloud and he stayed upon the top of the mountain with God for 40 days and for 40 nights. Now, the children of Israel have been now at Mount Sinai. They've been down at the base. They've been down in the valley where they have set up their camp. And they have been there for about 9 months now. 9 months since they came across the Red Sea after God divided the sea to enable them to go over on dry ground. So about 9 months have passed. And now the Lord calls Moses up on the mountain to meet with him, where he is now going to receive the law, and where he is going to receive instructions for the building of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was something new. This was something new to Moses and to the entire nation. All right, they had the ark that was going to go inside of that tabernacle. They had this portable thing that was going to be the place where God would dwell. He would dwell over the mercy seat, over the ark, and the people would be able to look at that tabernacle, which was situated in the middle of the camp. So north, south, east, or west, didn't matter what direction you were in relation to the tabernacle, you would be able to look over, see the tabernacle, and realize that the cloud was dwelling over the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. All right, wonderful setup, wonderful plan that God designed with this portable tabernacle that he gave instruction to Moses about. Now, this portable tabernacle was to be the dwelling place of God. It was where the people were to meet with the Lord and worship. This is where they were to meet with the Lord and worship and serve him. The tabernacle was nothing more than a tent. It was a tent. They could set it up and they could take it down. It was it all just fit together like a puzzle. And it was all designed to be packed up in a moment's notice. It was all then designed to be set up in a moment's notice. So if the Lord came out of the top of the tabernacle and moved, then the people knew, Moses knew, Aaron knew, and thus the people would know that it was time for them to move. And so they would pack it up, and once the tabernacle was all packed up, and they would put the ark on the staves, and four men would bear, four Levites would bear the load of the ark on their shoulders, and they would carry the ark and follow the cloud. They would go after the cloud. When it stopped, they stopped. When it moved, they moved. And the whole idea was that this tabernacle was a portable dwelling place for the Lord. Now, it was something that could be carried by the Levites to the next location. But in the next chapter, in chapter 25, we learned that the tabernacle was built out of the most expensive of materials. Now understand that. It was born or built out of the most expensive materials. Now look carefully, please, at chapter 25 for just a moment. And notice here, the Lord spake, verse 1, unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Oh, yeah, why? Well, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, silver, brass, blue, that's blue garment, purple garment, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood, which is acacia, the acacia tree, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones. You know what a black onyx is. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod that the high priest would wear and in the breastplate. And let them make me a what? Sanctuary. A sanctuary. Now, that little word, sanctuary, it's just a wonderful little word that talks about how it translates into the New Testament. And John said, And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what about that, the Lord? Well, he tabernacled among us.
Amen.
All right, you see that? John said, we saw him, we touched him, our hands handled him. We know that he was God in the flesh.
Amen.
We witnessed him. We saw him. And God, the God of heaven, came and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us.
Right.
And the picture is in the Old Testament that portable building, that sanctuary that they built was a place where God would come and meet with his people.
Right.
What a wonderful picture that is.
Amen.
I mean, to realize that the children of Israel, when they stopped and they could look over and see the Shekinah glowing out of the top of the tabernacle, and they could go over with their sacrifices, and the high priest and the other helpers, the priest would be there to take his offering, and then he would worship the Lord. He would tell the Lord what was on his heart. He would tell the Lord his needs, and there the Lord would meet with them. Well, we have that same privilege, Christian.
Yes, we do.
We have that same privilege. Our Savior tabernacles with us, and he walks with us, and he talks with us, and he guides us. All right. So notice that that God said that they are to give of these expensive items because they were going to build a house for the Lord. Could this have been one of the things that was on David's heart? Do you remember what David said? He said, Lord, you had them build me a house, their king, me a house to live in. And yet your house is just this tent. See, it's just this tabernacle. It's just this portable old tent. And no doubt by the time that David came along, that thing was starting to show some wear, wouldn't you think?
Right.
I mean, several hundred years have gone by. It's getting old. It's getting ragged. And David probably looked at that and he thought, you know, Lord, it's kind of silly to me that, you know, I'm flesh. I'm nothing. David knew what he was.
Amen.
All right. David was the one that said, God knoweth his frame and remembereth that he is dust. All right. That was David that said that. David knew that he was just dirt.
Right.
But God is God. And so what did he say? He said, Lord, I live in this nice house. We need to build you a house. And that's when the temple started to be discussed. And of course, God would not let David build it because David had so much blood on his hands. But David designed the whole thing. David had everything made that would go in that temple. Everything. It was all cut. It was all ready. You know, David must have been a brilliant man. Must have been a brilliant person. And he got the best of the best to help him in designing that temple. But he had everything cut, everything designed, everything, the stone, the marble, the granite, everything, the wood, everything was designed. And it was all there and ready for Solomon, his son, to just take it and put it into place. And you can read about the construction of the temple, and you'll read that when the people woke up and went to work, they would look over and see how things were going. And then they would go to work, and they would come back, and they would be amazed at all that had been done. And what was really amazing to them was the fact that the people could not hear the sound of construction. You say, well, how could that be? Because David had already constructed everything. It was already all cut. All Solomon's people had to do was take what David had already designed and cut and made and labeled and just simply all just snap it all into place. And they said, boy, I don't hear any pounding going on. I don't hear any sawing going on. I don't hear the sound of construction at all. And yet, look at what this thing is becoming. And they stood there in amazement as they watched the temple being built. So the tabernacle, it started out as the tabernacle, and then God moved into the temple, but it was set up the same way. Now, here's another thing. Look at chapter 25 and verse 9. It says in verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. All right, now look at this. According to all that I show thee. So God says, Moses, have them build this tabernacle after the pattern that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what I want built. You say, well, Pastor, did God give him blueprints? No, I don't think so. You say, well, then how'd that work? Well, don't forget now, he's up on the mountain with God. He's up on the mountain with God. He's in the cloud. And could it be that God would have said to Moses, now Moses, look here, this is how I want you to build that tabernacle. I'm going to show you the one in heaven. I'm going to show, and he peeled back so that Moses could see the tabernacle in heaven. And Moses looked at it, and God probably said, now, Moses, I want this long. I want this made out of this material. I want this made out of that. I want this to fit here and that to fit there. And I want you to put these little ringlets on the ark so that they can carry it. I mean, everything was prepared. It was all put in the mind of Moses by God himself. Isn't that something? That is just amazing to me. And Moses then, after being shown the pattern, Moses was to build it exactly as it was shown to him in heaven. All right, now, here's another thing that I want to point out before we get too much further here. This is all by way of introduction, of course, but... Just a couple more things before I get to the meat. All right. Here's another thing. I want you to see this. Now, this is real important. All right. The description of the tabernacle, it starts here in chapter 24. All right. When God calls Moses up into the mountain. Now, it starts here, and it occupies the next 16 chapters of the book. He is going to take the next 16 chapters to describe for us everything about that tabernacle. Now, can I remind you that when the Holy Spirit was giving the creation story to Moses for Moses to write down. Can I remind you that the Holy Spirit only took 2 chapters to discuss creation? Now, that's the creation of everything. 2 chapters. Look here. 1, 2. That's it. But you get over here to the second book of the Bible, and when God starts to talk about the tabernacle, he takes 16 chapters to discuss it. Does that not show you just how important man's redemption is?
Amen.
Does that not show you what God thinks about his plan of redemption? Because you see everything in these 16 chapters, everything is pointing to one person.
That's right.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything is pointing to Jesus.
Right.
I've told you all this, I'm sure. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was asked by a bunch of preacher boys one time. They said, Mr. Spurgeon, what is the secret of your ministry? And Spurgeon said, well, that's simple. I take a text, whether Old Testament or New Testament, I take a text, and then I make a beeline for the cross.
Amen. Yep.
A beeline for the cross. Because that's what men need. God showed Moses the pattern. 25:9. He showed him the pattern. And God has kept that same pattern throughout time.
Amen.
What did that priest have to do? He had to come before the altar with a blood sacrifice. All pointing to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that neat? The children of Israel were given a very important and a very definite part in the building of the tabernacle. For while the plans and the specifications were being revealed by God himself, the materials were to be provided by the free will offerings of the people.
Amen.
They were just to give. And they did. They did. They gave the materials. And here's another thing. No outsider. Do you remember back when it was telling the story about how they left the land of Goshen in Egypt? And they went out, and the Bible says that there were people that went along with them. And they were not Jews. Now, they were malcontents. They were people who hated Egypt. They were people who were turned into slaves, just like the Jews were. And so when the Jews left, the Bible calls them, here's what the Bible calls them. You remember it? A mixed multitude. Remember that phrase? And that mixed multitude came out. Not a one of them was allowed to give. Mm-mm. Nope. Only the descendants of Abraham were to give. Isn't that something? No outsider, no alien, no matter how important he might be or how rich he might be, he was not permitted to contribute to the offering. Now, as you could probably imagine, The response of the people to the request to give was overwhelming. As folks brought their best and gave their best, the best that they had to the Lord to be used in the construction of this dwelling place for God. But now here's another thing to consider. Where'd they get that stuff? Do you remember? They got it in Egypt. I mean, they didn't even ask the Egyptians for it. The Egyptian people had more sense than the entire Pharaoh administration. I'm not going to make any parallels. You make them yourself. And so what did they do? The Egyptians came and said, hey, we know that you people are the people of God. We know that God is with you here. And what did they give them?
Gold,
silver, brass, jewels, cloth, animals, skins, everything that would be needed. And where are they? They're out in the wilderness. What good is all that gold and silver going to do them out in the middle of the desert? Not going to do them a bit of good. Not going to do them a bit of good. I mean, all they could do is say, well, you know, those Egyptians that came over to our place, they gave us 500 shekels of gold. Another one said, well, I got 1,000 shekels of silver. Oh, well, good for you. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. Do you see a Walmart out here anywhere? Do you see a BMW store out here anywhere? I can't use it to buy a new car. I mean, there wasn't even a camel lot out there, probably. How are you going to spend your money? There's no place to spend it. So when God told Moses, this is what I need, Moses comes down off the mountain, tells the people, and what do the people do? They bring everything that was needed. Free will offering. No strings attached. Here, God. And God, and thus God provided a place where he could come and dwell among them. They brought their best, and the Lord used it in the construction of this dwelling place for himself. Now, let's go over to the 40th chapter of Exodus, the last chapter in the book. Boy, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? All right, look at chapter 40. All right, now in chapter 40, the tabernacle was built. It's finished. And everything has been built according to God's standard. And so what happened? All right, well, let's look at verse 32. It says, and when they, that's Moses and Aaron, went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses, what's the next word? Finished. All right, so the last thing that they had to do was set up the gate. The gate. Now that gate lets you in to the outer court where the altar was, where the high priest would stand. Okay, so Moses finished the work. What work? The work of building the tabernacle according to the pattern. All right, now, Jed, is everybody with me on that? All right, now look at the next verse. Watch this. Then, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. That's the tabernacle. A cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord. Let me say it this way. And the Shekinah of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation. In other words, Moses could not go through that gate that he had just put in place, which was the entrance and the exit for going in or coming out of the tabernacle. So there he is. He set it up. The gate is finished. The work is finished. It's there. It's already complete. And God shows up. And the presence of God was so powerful and so strong that Moses, verse 35, was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. So in other words, from that day on, when it was complete and when the Lord moved in, when he dwelt there, from that day on, whenever the Lord rose up and left, they packed it up and they followed the cloud. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. Set it back up again. God's Shekinah dwelt over top of it. All right, see how all that worked? Now watch this. Watch this. Look at the rest of it. It says, verse 37, but if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and what?
Fire
was upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Now, pray tell me, with this going on, how in the world could any of them turn against God? But they did. Isn't that something? I mean, how could they have gotten bitter or hard-hearted? How could they have gotten to the place where they wanted to go back to Egypt? Wait a minute, you want to go make bricks again? Seriously? Well, we remember the fish and the leeks and the garlics and the onions. We remember all that. Man. You know, we're strange creatures, aren't we? Strange creatures. All right. Well, all right. I hope that helps you. Now, here's what we're going to do next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, I want first of all for us to discuss, using the scripture here, the purpose for the tabernacle, the purpose, and we're going to find that in chapter 25. All right, so we're going to look at the purpose for the tabernacle, and I'm going to give you three purposes for the tabernacle. That's next week, though. All right? All right, read this over, folks. I think you'll knowing what you know now, I think it'll be a blessing to you. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts and encourage us tonight. We are so thankful that we have a Savior who dwells with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is like a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Father, we rejoice in realizing that that our Savior is with us and will never, never leave us. Father, what a blessing that is. Help us to draw nigh to Him. And as we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. So bless your word to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.